His name is Ish Berry, and this is Berry Media Unrestricted. He explores the city of Houston looking for people who are not afraid to get unrestricted. Interesting men and women who have an extraordinary journey, doing the kind of things that make great stories to tell for the rest of us. Now get ready for Unrestricted.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Unrestricted Podcast. I'm your host, Ish Berry, and back in the building far too long. It's been over a year. Our favorite entrepreneur, economist, overall smart guy is getting ready to do some big things out in Vegas as his own residency or something. Brad Henderson back in the building. Welcome back.
Glad to be back on the best show on earth.
Thank you. You hear that, Spotify? Give me a Joe Rogan deal.
Yeah.
Move over, Rogan. And welcome back. There's so much to talk about. We're going to cram everything in as much as we can. First off, can you do me a huge personal favor? Can you explain to people out there, in layman's terms for the average Neanderthal, how does inflation work? What is inflation?
I'll try my best.
Okay.
Basically, every time the government prints money, they're robbing from you.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have $100 in your wallet and the government prints $2 trillion, $4 trillion, whatever it is, the value of that $100 actually goes down.
Yeah.
So I think I read the other day, since 2010, the $100 bill has gone down 23%.
Dang.
So if it bought $100 in 2010, it buys $77 now. Unfortunately, that's inflation. So, but I think there's a lot of factors that affect inflation. Unfortunately, it's a very complicated thing. And I don't really agree with how the government calculates inflation.
Yeah.
Most people don't know. When you turn on the news and they're like, inflation's 2%, and we're all looking at each other like, I can't think of one thing that only went up 2%.
Right.
Like, really? You mean it only went up 40 cents? Because when Asha and I go to the grocery store, every time we pick up something, we're like, this used to be half as much.
Yep.
But it's pretty sneaky how the government calculates inflation. And I took a class at Northwestern for work a while back, and the economist professor argued with me, and he's like, oh no, it's accurate, it's accurate. Well, picture a bag of groceries.
Okay.
And the government wants the number to be whatever they want it to be.
Okay.
If they want to have more, put more money into the economy, maybe they're going to affect the number that way. If they want to have less money in the economy, they're going to affect the number that way. But they pick and choose what they're going to put in the grocery bag to do the math and say the inflation is this. Now, think of how big a grocery store is. And if you really tried, you could go in there and maybe find five or six things that have only gone up a couple percent.
Barely, yeah.
But the things that we all buy, eggs, gas,
meat,
everything is 20, 30, 40%.
Yeah.
And another thing they do, which is very sneaky, when it comes to technology, the way the government thinks about inflation, this will blow your mind. So if an iPhone, what used to be $7.99.
Okay, yeah.
And now it's $14.99.
Yeah.
Well, you could do the math on that. You're like, well, it's almost doubled.
Yeah.
That's not how they do the math. They say this new $1,400 iPhone has a, you know, 100 megapixel camera, and the old one had a 2. And this one has a 500 gig hard drive, and the old one had a 2. So what you're getting is like doubled. So really, by our math, you're not paying double. It's pretty messed up. It's pretty crazy. But I think most people are like, I wish inflation was only 2 or 4 or 6%.
Yeah, we wouldn't be complaining. Everybody has a reasonable amount. And I still go back to the lockdown during the stimulus where And it's like, I get it. People were out of work. People were out of jobs. People, you don't want people to get homeless. You want people to eat. So the government just panicked and gave everybody money. But not realizing, like me, I'm an essential worker. I didn't need the stimulus. Mm-hmm. I was working more hours than I can count. You know what I mean? So there should have been a spreadsheet or something saying, okay, people who are essential workers, because you're still working, you don't get the stimulus. And that would have cut some of it. Well, damn, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I think the problem is they have the world's largest checkbook, but they don't have the world's largest calculator.
Damn.
So
that's a good way to put it.
You know, in 2008, when you know the sky was falling and Lehman Brothers and all this stuff
AIG
happened,
and, yeah.
I think the number was $800 billion to bail out all these banks and the auto industry.
Yeah.
And all that stuff. This time around, they did $6 trillion. And then I think in 2021, Biden did another two. So that's $8 trillion. So they just, I think they just pull these numbers out and they're like, what sounds good? But they never really even did the math.
Yeah.
And if you go and look, like, I think the stimulus, the money that people got, was such a small fraction of that number. Like, if you do the math on it, we automatically assume it was the checks that everybody got that made it.
I forgot about the PPP loans, right? Yeah.
So if you travel a lot, like I do, every airport I've been to, and I've been to 8 of them this year, is getting like $100 million upgrade.
I've noticed that too,
and
yeah.
And if you follow front office sports, every day there's a university or a team, some team or pro sports, everybody's adding on $500 million this or that.
Yeah,
and I'm
renovations
like,
or something. Yeah.
That's the big inflation money that's out there in front of our eyes that we're not counting as part of the problem.
Wow. Okay. So. Huh. Do you think one day it's going to catch up with us and we're going to get hyperinflation? That's something that kind of keeps me up at night.
It's pretty scary because there's been, if you look through history, anytime a country has printed as much money as we have, which fiat currency is only as good as our promise, the government's promise that they will pay it back.
Yeah.
So there's countries in the world today, I believe, that have $1 billion bills.
I did hear about that, yeah.
There's a country, I think, in Africa that has $1 billion bill, and it's equivalent to like $4. So it gets to a point where it is pretty scary because, you know, they're only bringing in $4 trillion a year in taxes, and everybody's like, we need to tax more, we need to tax more. Well, if you go to the debt clock, Google debt clock, and I think if everybody in America saw this, they would put two and two together that none of this adds up. But there's 160 million taxpayers in the United States out of 320 million because you got retired people, kids, people in high school.
Yeah.
Well, if you taxed everybody at 100%, meaning we made $0 and we just paid taxes, it wouldn't even put a dent in the $32 trillion. That means you have a spending problem.
Big time.
And the unfortunate thing is we could solve a lot of the problems that other countries have solved if we weren't so bad with the checkbook. Because I remember it wasn't too long ago, they were like, oh, yeah, everybody could have health care, but it's going to cost like $2 trillion. And then COVID comes along, and they're like, how about six? how about two more? And I'm like, there's these problems we've had all this time that really hurt people, and we didn't have enough money for it. But now we're just like, yeah, what's another eight?
Golly.
So it is pretty scary, and I think that's why.
Can't keep spinning like this. This is insane.
Cryptocurrency, you know, I know we talked about it last time.
Yeah.
It's way more serious now than it is before.
Yeah.
And you've actually had countries, I want to say El Salvador, you'll have to Google that, but they've adopted it. Like, they've been buying Bitcoin and they've actually right-sized their finances.
Oh.
And the beauty of Bitcoin is There's no politician in the world that can flounder it and devalue it by making some promise to you that they really don't even care about you and make it worthless. You know, it's kind of like a self-policing thing. And that's what I really like about it. So it's interesting. There's only 21 million Bitcoins that will be mined, I think, by the year 2100. Oh, and there's 19.5 million have been mined. So very limited supply.
Wow. We need to do that. But now I'd be too much like right in this country. They're not going to.
Oh, yeah. Because they, I do think they will. I think there's a plan. I don't know what it is, if it's a central bank digital dollar, but the U.S. government owns over 200,000 Bitcoins. They're one of the largest owners of Bitcoin.
Oh, I had no idea.
The same people that are like, this is fraudulent, you shouldn't do this, this is bad.
I'll be damned.
they own 200,000 Bitcoins, I believe. So, and the other thing about Bitcoin, the banks, which are really, you know, a big part of the problem. Every time you swipe your card, I want to send you $100. They're like fee. Yeah. You can send Bitcoin to somebody for free.
Mm.
So the banks lose out too.
Yeah.
And the same banks that for the last 5 years have been like, Bitcoin is bad. We don't believe in it. It's fake. It's not real money. It's not backed by anything. They've launched 10 Bitcoin ETFs in the last 6 months. The same people, Jamie Dimon, Chase Bank, Bitcoin is dumb, Bitcoin is silly. Hey, here's our Bitcoin ETF if you want to get in the game.
And hell, our money isn't backed by anything anymore, the U.S. dollar.
Correct. I mean, so since 1971 was when Nixon took us off the gold standard. And I'm sure you've seen the James Bond movie when they go to Fort Knox and they. And I'm like, I bet the gold's not even. I bet we never even had the gold.
I think about that pretty frequently.
And why wouldn't we tell everybody in the world where the gold is?
Yeah.
But when we came off the gold standard, that's when scary things started to happen. And then by the early 80s, we had really bad hyperinflation. Mm. Where people were standing in line for gas. Yeah. A good mortgage was like 15%. And the Fed chairman at the time took the interest rate to like 19% overnight to basically stop it.
Yeah.
And it started to work. Like inflation came down, but it's scary.
Golly. Yeah, that is. That's. And I only see it getting worse. I don't see the government easing up on everything. If anything else, more spending, and signing more crazy stuff in the legislation.
Well, I think human nature, I mean, it's fun and you feel good to give stuff to, you know, we always have like 100 trick-or-treaters at our house. And I get really excited about it. They're like, you know, you're handing out all this candy.
Yeah.
But in the situation with the government, it's like none of them ever have to pay for it.
Mm.
And they're never going to be around when the bill comes due. And it's pretty scary.
Yeah. Like, I feel bad for the current administration in the city. I don't know if you saw on the news, but the new mayor was like, the city's broke.
Yeah.
It's like, this dude's only 3 months in this. But office. It's like, you got to deal with all of the shenanigans that Turner did, and it's like, damn.
He's got to get a lot. I mean, you got to give the guy credit because he has to be the first politician ever to be honest.
Yeah. that's what caught my attention ahead, and I was like, mayor says we're broke. I'm like, well, I clicked on it. Like, he's like, yeah, the city of Houston, we're broke. I'm like, oh, shit. He wasn't lying about being transparent. You can't get more transparent than that. Yeah.
But yeah, inflation's pretty scary, and I don't know how it ends. I recommend everybody, you should keep some small bill currency on hand.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because if there's a run on the banks, you're going to want $5 bills, $10 bills, $20
Good
bills.
Point.
And go to a place like APMEX, AMEX, or one of those places and buy some junk silver. Junk silver is pre-1960 quarters that had even our coins had real silver in them.
Yeah, I remember.
So 90% were silver, and if something were to happen to the currency, or you know, all of a sudden you couldn't go down and Wells Fargo was closed today, you couldn't get your money out, you can get a bag of junk silver for a few hundred dollars, and that could become the bartering system.
Good point.
Not trying to be all.
No, it's good to have options like that. Think about it, but I mean, unless something drastic changes, I mean, in my opinion, and I know I'm a bit of a pessimist, but the signs point to that way, you know?
Yeah.
Switching gears for a moment, thoughts on NIL?
I think it's fascinating because, you know, my wife, Asha, was a pro athlete,
mm-hmm.
and seeing all the
work. Wait, was?
Is.
We'll get in that in a second.
Is.
She said,
is a pro athlete. And seeing how much work she put into her sport.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever they do get money, I'm always like, man, she should get a lot more for the amount of work that she puts into
it.
And then with college sports, it's even bigger. It's like the amount of money that's being generated right now by the tournament, the playoff system and all this, and it's like there has to be some type of distribution. But at the same time, you can already start to see every year in college football, it's like, you know, first off, there is in the NFL, you have the free agency period.
Yeah.
Well, college football is like 365, 24/7. Like maybe even after the second game of the season, somebody's transferring.
Yeah.
So I think that it's like the Wild West right now, and I think they have to find the middle ground of kids getting compensated. But also, there has to be limits to it.
Like, yeah, absolutely.
You can't go to 8 schools in 2 years. And, you know, because I don't know that that's teaching people a good lesson either.
Yeah.
But, and then the other thing becomes, I saw University of Texas is actually having a concert. You know, if anybody doesn't need more money, it's Texas.
Just coming from a Texas fan.
I'm just being honest, but they're having a concert. I forget who's performing, but they're going to fill up the football stadium, you know, 80,000, 100,000 people.
Yeah.
And they're openly saying it's to raise money for NIL. So if you have the wealthiest school in the country needing to have or thinking they need to have fundraisers for NIL and funding or for players for money, it's like, well, I can think of 120 schools that don't stand a chance then. And the last thing we want is like, you know, the Yankees and the Dodgers can have whoever they want, right?
Yeah.
And then there's 30 other teams. Well, the great thing about college football, college sports, there is some degree of parity. Look at the college basketball tournament. Like, no one picked these teams
the
that are left. But if it goes all into that, you will have 3 or 4 powerhouses, and everybody else will have nothing.
Damn, I did not know UT was doing that. So you tell me all of these rich, prominent alumni from UT, these people who are all in gas, entertainment, politics, they can't come together and say, okay, we're going to pay these kids, and you got to have a concert. Like,
well, that's the funny part, right? Because who's going to buy tickets to the concert? The average people.
Yeah.
So to your point, it's like, wait a minute, why don't we start outsourcing this, and then we don't even have to use our own money, and we'll just have concerts. You know, we'll have Taylor Swift perform, and we'll raise $100 million for NIL.
Wow.
But what I do like, what I have liked to see from it, is even the girls, like the Caitlin Clarks and mm-hmm. the other people like that, like, they're getting paid.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
But I don't know how it affects the other tertiary sports like
track and field, or
track and field, golf. And golf. And,
yeah, that's a good question.
You know, so it's going to be interesting.
Yeah. Do you think NIL is the reason Nick Saban retired?
100%.
Yeah, think about it.
So they, I think of Nick Saban kind of like Vince Lombardi.
Mm-hmm.
And Vince Lombardi, there's a famous story about the Ice Bowl.
Yeah.
And the Ice Bowl, he was very special because the Packers were going for their for a three-peat. And back then, the NFC, or, you know, the Cowboys and the Packers played, and that was the NFL championship, and everybody was like, this is the real championship. The Super Bowl is kind of like the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, it's an exhibition game. They're gonna, the other team's going to get rolled. But the Cowboys came to Green Bay for the Ice Bowl. Everybody knows the story. The Packers won.
Mm-hmm.
But a year or two before that, Lombardi actually used his own money and had put heating coils into the field to prevent
that, yeah,
it from freezing. Okay, so now here's Lombardi going for his three-peat. He said his whole career, that was his goal, to win three in a row. It, he knew in his mind, but didn't tell people yet, it was going to be his last game. And they always said he was the ultimate control freak, and the one thing he can't control is the weather.
Right, yeah.
So the night before the game, the coils fail, the field freezes. They basically played the game on a sheet of ice.
Yeah.
And I like to think Lombardi went out there at the middle of the night and flipped the switch, because he's like, this allows me to control weather.
Yeah.
Now, why do I tell that story in relation to Nick Saban? I feel like whether it's what made Saban probably as good as he is attention to detail.
Mm.
I mean, every square inch of the program, the business, the operation,
yeah,
he had his, it was done his way.
True.
The, you know, total. And then you introduce this other element where, up until that point, just his brand and a kid being like, if you play for Nick Saban, you've got a 50% chance of going to the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, look at the numbers.
Like, he definitely got a shot at being a national champion.
So he kind of, and to his credit, he earned that.
Yeah.
You know, he earned that status. And then here comes this other thing. And I could see it with Texas. Like, in a span of about 2 years, I went from watching them like, we just don't, we look slower, we look smaller, we don't look like as big and athletic. And then it's like, here comes NIL, and now Texas can compete all of a sudden overnight with the same coaching, you know, yeah, with these big teams. And save, that probably worried Saban, because I think if he's not in the Final Four, it's a failure to him.
I can see that too.
And with this, he's going to have a, it would be very difficult, I think. And now with a 12-team playoff, that was probably a big part of it too that nobody's talking about.
Yeah.
That there's, I mean, you could have like a 10-win Louisville or somebody come in and beat you in the first round, and it's that much harder to get to the Final Four, but I think it definitely played a part in it.
Yeah. And I think, too, like, before, Nick Saban could go to a kid's house recruiting and just have on all his rings, and the kid is sold, right? Now kids are asking, okay, coach, I respect you, but what can you do for me? How much are we paying? You know what I mean? It's like...
Yeah.
Oh, thanks, coach, but I'm going to...
And he's getting,
so well, you know, like,
he's getting a lot of flack for it, but I'm really like, how old's the guy? He's in his late 60s.
Yeah, somewhere in his 60s.
He's been doing it in his mind one way for 40 or 50 years.
Yeah.
And literally the rules changed and the game changed.
Mm-hmm.
The chessboard changed. So I can see why he's not handling it. You know, some people think he's just not handling it well. He's kind of been a little outspoken about it, but, you know.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to game day this year. They say he's going to be on there as like an analyst or something. So it's going to be interesting to see what's going to come off the top of his head.
I know. As long as Corso's still there, so.
Oh, man. I think it's time for Corso to step down. He's showing too much signs of old age. I'm not trying to age shame Corso's one of the greatest to ever do it, but it's kind of like, bro, you paid your dues to the game, to commentary. It's time to retire, maybe pop up once in a while and do the mascot head, like on the big games, you know, like.
But the problem is he wants to be there and the fans want him there, you know.
Yeah.
And they do manage it pretty well. When we went to the Texas-Oklahoma game, that was the only time I've been to probably four games when game day was there.
Mm-hmm.
And usually, you know, you can't get within 200 feet of those guys because there's so many people.
Yeah.
But we were all like, let's go behind the stage. And sure enough, you know, he comes out for his two segments and he goes to the bus to relax.
Yeah.
And, but they do a really good job, I think, of taking care of him. And
that's good.
But yeah, he is getting up there.
Yeah. Okay, I could just, you know, watch them, especially
he's not that much older than the guys running for president, so pretty scary, right?
Don't get me started.
And people would probably be like, and they actually go Google, and those three guys' ages are much closer than we think. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
as a UT fan, what did you think of your season this year in football? You say you guys are officially back.
I don't know. The game was interesting. We went to the Superdome.
Mm-hmm. Sugar Bowl, yeah.
Sugar Bowl, and Washington just, you know, beat the crap out of them. But it's great to be playing a meaningful game in January.
Yeah.
But it's been so long. I just really have a hard time seeing them in the championship game. I thought this was their best shot that they're probably going to have. They're going to be in the mix every year, but you're a game away. It's going to be played in Houston, in Texas.
Yeah, home field advantage.
I mean, everything lined up perfectly, and they got out-coached, out-played, out-everything in the Sugar Bowl. So it's just impossible. It's like my Packers. I'm like, I know how it's going to end before we even start. So, yeah.
Packers will get back on track. I mean, finally got rid of Rodgers. So,
That's
a huge step in the right direction.
Yeah. So. The Jordan Love is amazing. Like, the players all love him, the fans love him. He just wants to play football.
Yeah.
He's so cool. We got to go to the – I went to the last three games of the year. I went to the last game in Green Bay against the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
We won and made the playoffs. Asha and I went to the one in Jerry World.
Okay. Yeah.
Where we broke the scoreboard. And then we went to the next week in San Jose, San Francisco.
Yeah.
But I knew when we missed the field goal at the end and the Niners got the ball with 2 minutes left, I was like – it's gonna end like it always does.
Yeah, that was a tough one. I was constantly just trying to find teams to root for, and every team I tried to root for was like, getting eliminated. It's like, well,
the Packers are America's team. I mean, the Packers are owned
by the people.
The people.
Yeah.
Like, what's more, 360,000 shareholders.
Yeah.
So. I love the Packers.
Are you a shareholder, if you want me to ask it?
Got two shares. Which,
I'm not mad
guess what that's worth?
How much?
Jack squat. No, it's I have one from the 2011 stock sale, and I have one from the most recent one, which I think was 2020 or something like that.
Okay. Last question I want to ask. What are your favorite things to do in Vegas?
Favorite things to do? Well, I like the slot machines.
Okay.
I have a formula. It's a pretty good formula.
Okay.
I can share that with you if we have time.
Okay.
I also like to eat a good meal.
Okay.
We got to go to Golden Steer, and you have to book it pretty far in advance.
Tell me about it. Yeah.
But Asha, she's always on top of it, and she booked it like 6 months in advance. But
so that means if I'm going to go back during the Olympia, which is in September, I need to book that now then.
Yep. But you can go, if you go at 4:15, they open at 4:30. A little line will form, and the seats in the bar, you can sit there. But
yeah, I read about that, but I'm like, I want to have the booth and the real full experience, you know what I mean? So it's best for me to look into that now.
Yeah, but Barry's at Circa
is
phenomenal.
Okay.
It's awesome. And I really like Barry's. The sides are good. The steak's good. It's really cool. You go down an escalator. It's basically in the basement of Circa.
Oh, yeah.
Downtown.
Okay.
It's pretty cool.
Nice. So. We got time? You can tell me the secret? Okay, we're good.
So I've been to Vegas like 53 times.
Damn.
And last year I went 12 times. And I went last year 12 times because I actually started to win.
Okay.
And before I played table games, well, I was just giving my money away. And they actually published the rate of return of all the games in Vegas. The Las Vegas Gaming Commission publishes a report every month.
Damn, I didn't know.
Three card poker, worst game in the casino, 37% of your money's gone. So you only get 63 cents, kind of like the inflation thing we talked about. And then I like slot machines, but here's the thing. There's a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it is random.
Yeah.
And there is some luck involved. But I like playing high limit slots in the high limit room because when I would sit and observe, people were winning more often. Why are they winning more often? Because those machines are getting a lot of money pumped into them.
Gotcha.
I mean, there's people playing way more than I can even wrap my head around, right? $100, $100, $100.
Damn.
So the amount of money the machine has to give back is also more.
Okay, yeah.
So most of the machines, like Top Dollar and Pinball, will trigger a bonus feature one every 40 to 50 or 60 pulls.
Okay.
The reason why people lose at slot machines is they put 20 or 100 in and then they're like, I go on to the next one and the next one and the next one and the next one. Well, here's what happens. Somebody sits down after you and then it gets to 39, 40, 41, Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah.
And they win $120. They won your 100 plus 20.
Yeah.
But you bounced around and went to 27 other machines, and unless you timed it just perfectly, you just paid for the next person's bonus feature.
Wow.
So when I go, I like to play the same, for 2 days, I'll play the same four machines the entire trip, and that's it.
Okay.
Because if I'm going to win, I'm going to win on a machine that I've put my money in, and my chance of catching the bonus feature is way better because I've been playing those machines, right? And worst case, I can count it in my head. So I started doing this, and I started winning. And I had some pretty big jackpots. I'm going to put them on my Instagram. And I changed my Instagram name to The Vegas Brad.
But, yeah, saw that.
When the year wrapped up, I had about 30 hand pays. And on 12 trips, I only lost, I think, once or twice.
Okay.
But that was it. Just playing the same four machines. And typically $5 bet, maybe 10. And I always tell people, if you're going to spend $100, play the $5 one 20 times versus the 100 or the 25 cent machine 400 times.
Gotcha, okay.
Because the $5 one, if you win, you're going to win.
Yeah.
Like $2,500, $3,000, $4,000. If you win on the 25 cent machine, you're going to get $108, $110, $112. So I started doing that and it seems to work, but you know, we'll see. She lets me keep going back, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any plans to go during the last week of April? That's why I'm going out there.
Actually.
Last weekend in April.
I will be there the last weekend of April.
Get out of here like the 27th, 28th, 29th, somewhere around there. Okay. We got to link up.
Going in Saturday morning with my friend and then leave Monday morning.
Okay. I'm leaving early Thursday morning and coming back Monday night.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, Boo will be with me too. Yeah. Might not come back. Who knows?
Hey, amidst all this humidity and traffic?
Oh.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, we put it with this far too long. Which one is something?
Flooding, hurricanes.
Hurricanes.
Yeah.
Crazy politics. Now I got to stay here. Got my beloved U of H Cougars. We're actually doing some things. So.
All right.
But hell, I can root from afar.
Yeah.
I got a buddy that
they
does.
They have TVs in Vegas.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, big I've ones. Seen the sports book. It's like this massive, like NASA control center.
Yeah, Circa is like three stories. You can watch it on three different levels. Yeah, it's pretty cool. So.
Man. All right. So as we get you out of here, my friend, tell people how we can find you on social media. Everything's the Vegas Brad now, right?
Yeah, Instagram, the Vegas Brad.
Okay, cool. And as for us here at the podcast, we are at theunrestrictedpodcast.com. Support, like, share, subscribe. Y'all know what to do. Thank you for joining me, Brown, this Easter weekend. Until next time, everybody, take care of yourselves and each other. We're out of here.
Awesome. Thanks.
Want to help the channel remain upstanding and dedicated to the truth? Then consider becoming a channel patron. The link to our Patreon account is in the description below.